You know, part of this gospel almost sounds American. You know, the idea of individualism, hard work, pull yourself up by your bootstraps kind of thinking, work out your own salvation. Neat kind of idea. But that's not exactly what Paul meant. You know, Paul was always writing these letters to churches because churches seemed to always have problems. And when he was writing to the Philippian church, he was trying to shape them and mold them in their spiritual walk. And when he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, those words, fear and trembling, are the key to the phrase. See, we don't really create our own salvation. That's part of the problem we saw in the interchange between the Pharisees and Jesus in the gospel lesson. You know, they really thought they were doing it. We've got our little rule book. We got all the stuff we need. I mean, we follow these rules. We're good guys. We're doing it for God. And you know, religious people of all ages kind of think that way. And there are people today, even in the church, who kind of think they're handling their own salvation by what they do in the life of the church. But that's not at all what St. Paul meant. The beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord. He said, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. And then his next phrase is, because it is God in you that causes you to do this work that we call salvation. Yeah, we got to do something. We've got to respond. We've got to live a certain way in this world if we're going to call ourselves Christians. But we don't do it in our own strength. We don't do it in our own power. The RSV tells us, have this mind among yourselves. Let your mind be like the mind of Christ Jesus. That's how to work this all out. That's how to make a difference in the spiritual journey. That's the difference between being religious people and being spiritual people. You know, there's a lot of religious people in the world. There's a lot of people that do a lot of religious stuff. And coming to church can be religious stuff. You know, it's something I do, something I'm supposed to. I guess I gotta go. I'll feel guilty if I won't. I guess I need to be there. Now, I tell you what, if that's the attitude we come to church with, that's just religion. And then we go through our practices. And if we just go through them because that's the way we've always done it, then that's religious stuff. But is it spiritual? Is it motivated from the God who works within us to accomplish salvation, to make a difference in our lives? And you see, that becomes the spiritual side. Now, the people that were trying to put Jesus on the spot were very religious people, but they weren't all that spiritual. Jesus knew it. That's why he put the question to them about John the Baptist. I mean, if they were really spiritual, they would have gotten the point. They would have gotten the message, but they rejected John just as they were rejecting and would reject him. He knew it. They were the elder son who says, yes, I'll do it, when everybody was listening and watching. Did you notice how polite the elder son was? Yes, sir, I'll do it. You know, the other was the whiny younger brother. No, I'm not going to do it, Dad. But the elder brother says, oh, yes, sir, and didn't bother. You see, when we're just religious, we're like the elder son. We're not operating from the heart. We're operating from a rule book. It's a religious rule book, but it's a rule book. But it's a rule book I can control. You see, when I get my Bible and I use my Bible the way I want to, I'm not on a spiritual journey. I'm just being religious. When I'm trying to control life from a godly point of view, I'm just being religious. I'm being manipulative. Why? Because I'm trying to work out my own salvation my way. You know, I'm going to take the parts of the Bible that I like. You know, some of this stuff he asked me to do, I'll tell you, I ain't going to do that. Certainly I'm not going to do that. Oh, here's a good one. I'll do that one. That looks pretty easy. You see, we're just being religious people when we pick and choose. But we need to listen from the inside out because God's Spirit's in us. When we were baptized, the Spirit started a work in us that helps us work out our salvation in fear and trembling. Fear and trembling of a mighty God that we've sung about in praise this morning. I had a real blessing yesterday. Of course, I can only stand so much of this blessing. My grandchildren were with us all day. And so they came over, and the little cuties found, you know, the little witness and testaments that we give out when you join the church now and have available. We had those little red testaments, and they asked what they were, and we said, that's the Bible. And so the five-year-old and the two-and-a-half-year-old sat in my chair, which is certainly plenty roomy for the two of them to sit in. And they were sitting there, neither one of whom can read, and they were reading about Jesus. Simultaneously, each one was doing their own reading. And then almost in unison, they started singing, Jesus loves me, yes I know. And they sang the whole thing together. You know, without knowing it, they were working out their own salvation. Because the God within them, even though they couldn't read the Word, they were responding to the Word of God. They knew there was power. That's a living Word there. And when we told them that little red book was a Bible, the Word of God in their lives came out. And it was most natural for them to end their Bible lesson with singing. Are we letting that come out in our spiritual journey? God, talk to us. How do we work out our soul, our salvation? We do it by having a mind like Christ. What does that scripture say? It said this Jesus, who was in heaven, who was there and helped create the world, didn't take that place of privilege as important and humbled himself and became a servant to come here to earth. Obedient to the Father. Obedient even to death. Death upon the cross as a criminal. If we are going to be about a spiritual life, we must have the mind of Christ. Because just as Jesus was the Word become flesh, we are a Word become flesh. There's a great passage in Ephesians, the first chapter of Ephesians, that I've been doing some reading in my spiritual journey. And it says, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. Now, certainly we know that we're not holy and blameless before God in love. But this writer, who knows a whole lot more Greek than I do, since I avoided that, you know, I told you I wasn't real big on school, and so I avoided the. You do get to choose your courses. And so I avoided that tough course because I never was very good in language. I just sort of limped through languages. And now wish I had gone through Greek and Hebrew. But you see, the word here, just as he chose us, literally means just as he spoke us forth. before the foundation of the world. Now that's pretty powerful. In other words, there was God before there was anything. There was Christ before there was anything. And God created the world by speaking it into existence. God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God separated the land from the sky. God spoke everything into existence. And before even the world was created, and this is hard to comprehend, God spoke each one of us into existence to live holy and blameless in love before Him. But before we were ever conceived in our mother's womb, in eternity, God spoke forth every human that ever existed and ever will exist to stand before Him, blameless and holy in love. And now here we are in the world. Paul's working just as hard as he can to tell us to work out our salvation by getting it together with this God who wants to work in us to complete making us holy and blameless in love before God. This is a radical gospel that we proclaim. It was radical in the time of Paul. It is radical today to really believe that God spoke us forth before anything in the universe was created. And He wants us back as holy and blameless, and He'll help us do that if we'll have the mind of Christ. You know, there's an interesting Sprint commercial on where this guy that we've seen on TV for a year or so now in his black suit that goes around in all kinds of situations. And now there's this new thing where he walks up to a guy who is upside down watering his lawn. Have you seen that one? And he says, "You've been looking for a cellular phone, haven't you?" And he says, "I don't know which end's up," which pretty much fits most of us in this world. But, you know, it's kind of an interesting concept, an interesting commercial. In the book of Acts, Paul got in trouble because he preached this crazy gospel of ours. And they ran into town, a bunch of Jews, trying to get him in trouble and say, "This guy's turning the world upside down." See, when we really tap in to the spiritual life, it's like turning the world upside down. It's like being like that guy watering his lawn upside down. Apparently in that part of the country they have water. When we have the mind of Christ, we are to look at the world in a different way. We're to live in a different way. We work out our own salvation in fear and trembling by letting the God who spoke us forth in the beginning speak to us again like little children, so that we become holy and blameless in love before Him. Are you going to choose to put on the mind of Christ? That's how we get there. Let this mind be in us that was in Christ Jesus. May we pray. Lord, maybe we need to float around upside down to realize what a blessing we have to know Jesus. Because in a way, if we look at the world from your point of view, the world does look kind of upside down. It's really messed up. We live in a world where everybody takes care of number one and looks after number one. That's why all these big shot executives are going to court. You've asked us to look at the world kind of upside down from your point of view. And that's hard for us, Lord. We don't want to just be religious people. We want to be spiritual people connected to you through the love of Christ Jesus. Give us the mind of Christ that we might see the world from your perspective. That might make a difference in our lives, and we might be a blessing to others. For we ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.